Well, good morning, everyone. I never thought I would be saying these words, but I'm so excited to preach to people again. For those of you who are in the sanctuary today, super glad you're here. Also super glad to have our friends online. And by the way, I know that it's not just VRBC people who've been joining us, but friends and family members of VRBC folks, who some of whom live way outside 972 area code. We're so excited that you are joining us as well. It is good to be together in the spirit. This morning, it's good to worship together, open God's word together. It's good to have a vision, a picture of progress on reopening. We're excited about that. And it's good to be together after a week, such a hard week, the unrest that our nation faces, so challenging. And it's been personally challenging to me. You know, it's hard to see and hear so many of the things that we've seen and heard. And I'm finding strength in this verse. I'm sure you know this verse from James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Pray that verse for me. I'll pray that verse for you. Sometimes I'm slow to listen. I'm quick to speak. I'm quick to become angry. And in this season, I just think I have a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn about racial injustice. I have a lot to learn about the pain that my African-American brothers and sisters have been going through for so long. And so anyway, just wanted to say that as we come to the end of another really challenging week. Let's be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. See, what the Spirit is the Spirit of the truth, and the Spirit will lead us into truth. Well, we're launching a new sermon series today. And I know I always say this every time we launch a new sermon series, but I'm really excited about this one. I'm super excited about it. It's been on the back burner for me for a couple years. I've been waiting to do it. And well, the time is now. The inspiration for this series came from a book that I read a few years ago with a great title. It's a book by Zach Eswine, and it's called The Imperfect Pastor. You thought that was going to be the title of my autobiography, but The Imperfect Pastor. And in the book, the author talks about how the biblical writers viewed the 24 hours of the day. And the author says that they divided the day into four sections or four portions. Like, for example, Psalm 55 says, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. God hears my voice. Lamentations 2 says, arise, cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. And so the author takes these passages and many others like them, and he kind of says, in the biblical view of the day, there were four portions. So morning, that's kind of when you wake up till noon, and then afternoon, say noon to six, that's a big kind of work part of the day. We'll talk about that next week. And then evening, think of it as supper time to when you go to bed. And then the night watch is that time from 10 p.m. say to 6 a.m. or the night watches, as often the Bible speaks of it. And so the author basically says that, you know, the Bible writers are onto something here, because these different portions of the day remind us that we experience life and God differently depending on what time of the day it is. In other words, there are different weaknesses and vulnerabilities that we face early in the morning or in the heat of the day, or when we're tired out in the evening, or when we can't sleep at night. Those are different interfaces with life and with God. And so at the same time, God has different gifts that he wants to give to us at different times of the day as well. And so we're starting this series. It's called God Throughout My Day. We want to see how God makes himself available to us in unique and profound ways in different parts of the day. And of course, we're going to begin with God in the morning. I want to read to you one of the Psalms, Psalm chapter 5. I invite you to have that open in front of you. It's often called a morning psalm. And you know, one of the things that we get in the Psalms is we get this sort of raw honesty before God. And we're going to see that here. We know that when we read the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, the Bible says that God demonstrates his own love toward us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died died for us. So we know that God loves sinners and sent his son to die for sinners. But we also know that God hates sin. He hates evil. And you're going to see some of that hatred on display. Psalm 5, hear the word of the Lord. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who's pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful you, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they tell lies. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. May God bless the reading of his word. In the morning, Lord, David says, in the morning, you hear my voice. In the morning. Now, I want to acknowledge right up front as we go through this series that we are different people. We have different, what do they call, biorhythms. We have different, psychology and physiology. And so we relate to life differently. Some of us maybe who are listening or here today, maybe you can sleep 12 hours straight. For a lot of us, it's been a long time since we've slept 12 hours straight. Maybe some of us, you're a parent of a young child, and so your sleep is frequently interrupted in the night. Maybe some of you are the parent of a teenager who drives, and so you have a hard time getting to sleep at night if you know your student is still out. Some of us maybe were early morning people and we start to lose steam around 2 o'clock. Some of us don't even get going until lunchtime and we can go long into the night. Some of us are night owls. Some of us are morning people. We are different people. Some of us have growing pains. Some of us have aches and pains. We're different. So what I'm about to say is not a one size fits all, but rather it's just an encouragement for you as you walk through your day to see your vulnerabilities, your weaknesses, and God's grace at different parts of the day. So, mornings. I'm not sure whether we can say with certainty whether David's a morning person or a night owl. His psalms have a lot to say about all different parts of the day. But I think we can say this. When David wrote Psalm 5 in his prayer journal, he was having a bad morning. Now, maybe sometimes you have bad mornings as well. There's a coffee cup. Do we have the slide? There's a coffee cup. I don't know if you can see this. It says, shh, and then almost, and then now you may speak. Maybe for some of us, every morning is kind of like that. We have to have a cup of coffee before we can even engage in conversation. What's up with David? We think he was having a bad morning, a string of bad mornings, because when he writes this psalm, it's in a season of his life when he is on the run from his son, Absalom. Absalom was a treacherous young man. He had smooth lips. He was managing to kind of do a palace coup. He was turning the hearts of the people against his father, King David. And so when David writes a psalm, I mean, it's not like he's the rooster greeting the morning with joy. It's not like, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. It's not like that at all. David is hurting. He's vulnerable. He likely didn't sleep much the previous evening. And yet what David discovers in the psalm is what I want us to discover. I want us to discover today three beautiful gifts that God has waiting for you this morning and that God has waiting for you every morning, whether or not you take advantage of them. And so here's the question that I want to answer today. And that question is, how does God help us face the morning? When you think about our unique vulnerabilities and weaknesses, how does God make himself available to us? What gifts does God have for us? And the first gift that God gives us, very important, God gives us a key. God gives us a key into his presence. Now, you know, as a preacher, I sometimes try to save the best for last. I want to end on a high note. But this may be the best thing you hear me say today. Now, don't leave and don't turn off the TV, but this may be the best part of the sermon right here. I want to jump ahead to verse 7. Verse 7 says, "But I, by your great love, can come into your house." It's not by my merit that I can come into God's house, God's temple, God's presence. It's by his great love. His grace is a key that lets me through the door into his holy presence. What a promise. When we read this verse, verse 7, with New Testament eyes, we know that the way that we can come into God's presence is through Jesus Christ, his son, and specifically Christ's sacrifice on the cross. The author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10 that Jesus has opened up for us a, quote, new and living way into God's presence. And that new and living way is by Christ's body. The author of Hebrews says it's by Christ's blood. And so it's almost like as we look at these verses, we know David wasn't the high priest, but as we read these with Christ in our hearts, it's almost like God has slipped us a key to the Holy of Holies. God has given us a key into his glorious presence. And because of that, David, he can come into God's presence and he can just lay his heart before God. He can know, he can trust, as verse 1 says, that God will listen to his words, and not just to his words, but to the deeper groaning of his heart. As one preacher, Ben Patterson, says, we can moan our prayers to God. We don't even have to use words, and yet God will hear us. We lay it all out. If we tried to clean our souls up before we came to God, we'd never come to him. We can't do that. We can't clean our own souls. But we know in the light of New Testament promises that when we pray, the Holy Spirit is praying with us. When we groan, the Holy Spirit is groaning in words too deep for us to understand. And so as verse 2 says, we come to God, our King, and we give him our cry for help. We know that he bends low to hear us. And that leads us to the verse that really drew me to the psalm. In fact, this verse, verse 3, really helped me uncover the beauty of the psalm. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Isn't that a powerful verse? Isn't that an amazing thought? 365 days, or is it 366 in a leap year in 2020? Every day we have the privilege of coming into his presence. He's given us a key and we can lay our request before him. Now I want you to notice this phrase in English, lay my request, translates a Hebrew word, and that Hebrew word was used for different things in the Old Testament. But one of the things it was used for was laying out your sacrifice on an altar. Like you brought maybe a grain sacrifice or some kind of meat sacrifice. You would lay it out on the altar. In the morning, David is saying, I lay my prayer requests out on the altar. Sometimes in the Old Testament, when the offering was made on the altar, the fire of God, like 2 Chronicles 7, for example, the fire of God comes down and consumes it. Because of that, I think I really love Eugene Peterson's paraphrase. He says, every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on your altar and watch for fire to descend. That doesn't mean I lay out my problems with my parents and watch for you to incinerate my parents. It's not that. I lay out my prayer requests. I lay out all the things that I'm struggling, and I wait for your holy presence to come down, Lord. What a huge opportunity for us every morning. I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if you awoke this morning with a certain heaviness. Maybe it's related to COVID-19 and the various side effects. It's job, it's finances, it's quarantine, it's distance, it's struggle. Maybe it's the deep unrest in our nation. Maybe it's something personal. But whatever's going on, you and I can lay our requests on God's altar every morning and just say, Lord, do what only you can do. Let your holy presence descend. In the morning, Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. Now at this point, I want to address an issue, and this may not be a big issue for most people. It may be though for some of you, if you're like me and you're old and you grew up in church, and I'll set it up this way. When I was growing up, my pastors and teachers taught the importance of something called quiet time. Right? And I, by the way, I still teach that. I believe very strongly in a part of our day set apart for God each day. We're called upon to pray throughout the day, to pray without ceasing. But there's something about that setting aside a certain amount of time to just spend with God in scripture reading and prayer. But my pastors and teachers growing up, they didn't just call it a quiet time. They called it a morning quiet time. And so for them, there was only one part of the day that was really the most important part to do this, and that was in the morning. In fact, which, by the way, it kind of served me well, except for my teenage years when I didn't really see the morning much. But it served me well because I'm more of a morning person, and I'm almost tempted to agree with Charles Spurgeon at this point when he says that 1 hour of prayer in the morning is worth 2 hours of prayer in the evening. I want to agree with that because I'm a morning person. But I also know that A.W. Tozer said that revivals are often born after midnight. By that he meant that often God sends a revival when his people pray long into the night, just longing for God. And so because of that, I'm not going to try to favor one part of the day over the other. I mean, whenever you have your time of prayer with God, I'm just grateful, right, that you're setting aside time to have that prayer. But I will say this, my days tend to go much better when they begin in prayer. Let me say that again. My days go much better when they begin with a time of prayer. This is the gift, the key into God's presence. It's waiting for us every morning. And that sets the table for a second gift. And that is God gives us a compass. God gives us a compass. I'll ask the folks in the room, how many of you at any time in your life have ever owned a compass? Let me just see some hands. Quite a few hands. Yeah, excellent. I was never a Boy Scout, but I was a Royal Ambassador, which is kind of a Baptist version of scouting. There was even like a motto: as a Royal Ambassador, I will do my best to become a well-informed something follower of Christ. I didn't say I was a good Royal Ambassador. I just said I was a Royal Ambassador. But one time we were going out on a camp out, and my parents gave me the gift of a compass, and I was just amazed by that thing, that little needle always pointed toward north. And even though that we never got very far from the grown-ups, even though I didn't really need it on that particular camp out, I soon learned its value, because when you're out, you know, when you're out in the woods and there's trees here and there, you may think that you're, you know, heading north, but really you might be heading west or east or even south. And you need something outside of your own head, if you will, to tell you which direction to go. And I think for David, what prayer provided for him was a moral and spiritual compass. You see, he was a man under assault. People were chasing him and intent on violence. People were slandering him. And, you know, sometimes when I read the Psalms or when I read Paul's letters, you know, men who dealt with physical violence, and for Paul was in prison, chains, whips, sometimes it feels like the words hurt more than the whips. This slander, this people telling lies about you. And so David needed to remind himself of what holiness was, of what truth is, of what is that kind of true north of God's presence. He needed to remind himself in verse 4 that God's not a God who's pleased with wickedness, or in verse 5 that God is not pleased with arrogance or wrongdoing, or verse 6 that God is not pleased with lying, or verses 8 and 9. He needed to remind himself that God is a God of justice, that when the last seconds tick off the eternal scoreboard, injustice is not going to win. Justice will. God will. And we remember this in the mornings, because sometimes in the mornings we wake up under assault. If we're not struggling with the hurtful words and actions of others, we're struggling with the constant barrage of temptation, the constant barrage of the evil one, our enemy Satan. Paul says in Ephesians 6, this enemy of ours shoots fiery arrows in our directions. Paul says in John 8, this enemy, Satan, is the father of lies. I mean, he is the liar of all liars. His mouth is truly an open grave. His words have a deadly impact on us. But God, in his mercy, gives us a compass. That's why I love verse 8. I don't know if you write in your Bibles, but if you do, you might want to write out beside verse 8, this is a compass verse. I think this is a great verse to pray in the mornings, to pray for God's guidance. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Lord, I might think I'm heading your direction, but then sin, temptation, frustration, anger, fear, and I'm running away from you. And so would you make your way straight? Don't let me give into vengeance and anger. Don't let me give into fear. Don't let me baptize my own selfish agenda and says this is what God wants me to do. Cause me to lean upon the wisdom of Proverbs 3, which says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge or submit to God, and he will make your paths straight. You know, the morning is a great time for us to pray that compass prayer. Lord, lead me along your path. In fact, one exercise, I wish I did this every day, I don't, but I do a lot of mornings, is just to kind of lay my calendar out before the Lord and just say, Lord, you know, here's what's on the calendar right now, and prepare me for this and this, Lord, give me your wisdom, give me your strength, give me part of your grace to impart to whoever I might meet. And we do that in the mornings. We set our compass, we set our direction. Now, I do agree with the famous general and president, Dwight Eisenhower, who once said that in war, plans are useless, but planning is essential. And by that, I think he means that whatever plans we may make at 8 a.m. may not work at 3 p.m. But still, there's something essential about just planning out our days before the day gets rolling, asking God to be with us. And all that brings us to a third gift. In the mornings, a third way that God serves vulnerable people like David, waking up with bloodshot eyes, like you and me, that person for whom there's not enough coffee in the coffee pot to energize them for what awaits them that day, that person who just wants the sun and the rooster and the alarm clock to all go back to bed. And that third gift is that God gives us a promise. And the promise is that whatever the first chapters of our life feel like, the last chapter is one of joy. I think it's remarkable that David writes this psalm. He talks a lot about his enemies. He talks a lot about his enemies. And yet, how does he end the psalm? Look at verse 11. See if you sense a theme here in verse 11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. If you're not sensing a theme, we tried to help you with the yellow words there. The theme is a theme of joy. Right? It's a theme, one commentator says, of holy hilarity. Charles Spurgeon says, the hardened sinner laughs first, but then weeps. But the righteous laughs last. Psalm 30 says, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. After all, when we wake up in the mornings, we recognize that our God has surrounded us with his presence. I love the way verse 12 puts it. It says, surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Some of these Old Testament shields, I mean, they wrapped around the whole person. Right? They protected you on every side. And David, a soldier, says, Lord, you have surrounded me with your favor, your grace on every side, as with a shield. I read a story recently about a bride and groom named Jeff and Rebecca. And they had their wedding ceremony. It was beautiful. And they were driving on their way to the reception, which was several miles away. They're in Ohio. And they get stuck in traffic after a multi-car crash in front of them. And after about an hour of being stuck in traffic, the bride, Rebecca, began to understandably stress out. And it was right about that time that a stranger in another car kind of jumped into action. And he said, hey, I feel so bad for you guys, your wedding, I feel so bad. Hey, I got an idea. What if you did your first dance right here? And somebody was actually kind of capturing video of it, a videographer, and thought you might want to see it. Yeah. Pretty cool, huh? I've never understood that when you say nothing at all. Is he telling her not to talk? That doesn't seem to be very wise, but what a cool thing. I mean, right there in the middle of a traffic jam on a freeway, they have their first dance. Look, friends, I don't know what's in store for you tomorrow, and you don't know either, and you don't know what's in store for me. Plans that we made months ago could come to a crashing halt. We might end up exactly where we never expected to be. And yet every morning when we lay our plans before God, we don't know. We don't know the dangers, toils, and snares that lie in our path. And here's what we do know. We know that the God that we connect to in the morning promises to be with us all day long. And he'll be with us when our plans succeed beyond their wildest dreams. And he'll be with us when our plans grind to a screeching halt in the middle of the freeway. And our God, who surrounds us with favor as a shield, can teach us to dance in the smack dab middle of life's deepest frustrations. That's why we take refuge in him. That's why we're glad in him. That's why we can sing for joy, not because of our circumstances, but because he is with us. However challenging our life might be right now, he promises us his joy. And that's the promise we claim this morning, and that's the promise we claim every morning. I'll close with this. I'm a big fan of this prayer I once heard. It goes like this. Dear God, so far today I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for all that. But in a few minutes, God, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on, I'm going to need a lot more help. Amen. That's you and me this morning. That's you and me every morning. So let's begin our days with God. He's got so much grace waiting for us. Let's pray. In the morning, Lord, on this Sunday morning, you hear our voice, and we thank you. In the morning, Lord, on this morning, when each one of us faces our own trials and struggles, when we as a nation face our own trials and struggles, Lord, you hear our voice. You give us the privilege through the grace of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the cross of Christ. You give us the privilege of laying our life before you and entrusting it to you. Lord, teach us to do that on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday as we do that right now in this moment in your name. Amen.